All right, good morning. It's good to see everybody. It was nice yesterday and changed its mind today, but that's all right. We need need all the moisture we can get so we can have a good summer. Today we'll be in the book of Daniel. Turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I'm going to use these glasses today, so I feel like Brother Aldridge when I preach with these, so maybe that'll help me. You know, when I was in Bible college, Brother Aldridge used to do that all the time, and he'd set his glasses there, and he'd go off on a tangent or something and preach, and it used to drive me nuts when he did that, because he'd throw his glasses down like that, and he'd start preaching about something, and I loved what he preached about, but it was like, man, he just throws them things down like that all the time, and I find myself doing the same thing, so... Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel says, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. And Lord, I just pray, Father, you just help me to remove myself from this and to allow you to speak to the hearts of the people. And Lord, I just hope that I can relay this as for all of us to understand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this passage, the Lord really spoke to me about one word, really, is what this message is about, and it's about purposed. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And what happens is you see that through this message, my goal is for us to accomplish is that I want us all to know that in the events that happened up till the Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego get put into the fire, all those events is because a man purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. And what I like to present to all of us is that if we purpose in our own hearts, that we won't defile God. You know, in this world today, we have so many things that are, people, the government, schools. There's so many things out there that try to deter us from doing the right thing, from how we raise our kids and how we live our lives, and the things that we do may differ from the world and what they believe. And I think that Daniel gives us a good example of if we do those things, and the title of the message is when we purpose in our hearts, God can do great things. We see here that Daniel purposed in his heart that he's not going to defile himself with the portions of the king's meat. And we see that in Psalms, David does the same thing. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 141. Psalms chapter 141. David says, Lord, I cry unto thee, and make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of thy hands as sacrifice, the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline my heart to any evil thing. That word incline means a feeling favorably towards a belief, attitude, or action. David is inclining not to fall into the evil doings that are in his heart. What does the Bible say? It says the heart is deceitful and wicked, and who shall know it? You know, so many of us want to follow our heart and follow our desires in our life. And we can't fall into those traps. We can't fall into those desires that we want to do those things because we have a God that gave us life and life more abundantly. You see, there's so many things in our life that we want to try to accomplish, that we want to do in our lives. But Jesus Christ died for our sins, folks. He gave us life and life more abundantly. Paul says, I thank God for calling me into the ministry. He says, I thank God for calling me into the ministry. Folks, it is a privilege and an honor to be a part of God's ministry. And folks, sometimes we get so wrapped up into our own life, into our own desires, and our own things that we've want to accomplish in our life. But folks, it's not about us. It's about Him, and it's about us telling others about Him. Showing others through our life that God can change someone. All of us have friends, family, that have seen us before we got saved. Maybe some of you have been saved at a very early age. I wasn't. I was 21 when I got saved. But I had a life before that wasn't favorable to a lot of people. See? And when Christ came into my life, I had to change, my desires changed because of what God did for me. My life was a life of alcoholism and drugs and a life of sin that you know, I'm thankful for God calling me into this ministry because it got me to a place where I can help others to see that there is hope. You see, there's people out there that may be living a lifestyle that I lived or maybe not. But it's a lifestyle without any hope, folks. Without any direction, without any knowing of where am I going to go when I die. He says, incline mine heart not to any evil thing. Verse 5, he says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindle. The more the world comes at you, the more the world is always pressuring you, that is a kindle to my fire. It drives me more to see how the world today is wanting us to fall into those traps and to get away from the God that we serve. And they want us to start following the world's ways. But David says here that, let those things kindle my fire. Folks, the more we see in today the sexual things that are coming up into our government where these things are okay, we're seeing that the world is being more tolerant of the sins that are coming more prevalent in this world today. And we don't have to take those and become hateful towards those people because that's not the Christian way. That's not who we're supposed to be. You know, I don't know if you heard this testimony. A gal asked me, says, because she had a lifestyle that was that I don't agree with. She asked me, she says, do you hate me because of that lifestyle? I says, no. I says, God says to hate the sin, but not the sinner. Folks, we don't have to hate people because of their different of beliefs, different lifestyles, because Jesus showed it in the woman at the well brilliantly in how we're supposed to react to those people living those lifestyles. Jesus didn't agree with her lifestyle. Jesus didn't like what her lifestyle showed other people, but he showed her love. He says, drink of my water and you'll never thirst again. She was astonished of what he was saying to her. She was amazed. And what happened at that? A good thing. She went to the city and told others what Jesus did. But if we react to that in a negative way, all they're going to say is, that's just who those Christians really are. That's just what they do. They judge you. They tell you you shouldn't live that way, and God hates that, and you know, and maybe those things are true. God does hate those sin, but he doesn't hate those sinners. So let those things kindle, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities when their judges are overthrown in stony places. But mine eyes are in thee, O God. In thee is my trust. Let my soul destitute keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I with all escape. If people want to live their life, that's their choice. I cannot make them choose to follow God. All you can do is live the best life that you can and be the best example that you can, and the chips fall where they may. But don't let us be the one who, as Brother Ryan said this morning in Sunday school, don't let us be that stumbling block for them. Because our life is what really is so important. Our testimony is so important in how we live our lives. Because the world is watching and how we live our lives, and they're using everything that they can to make that an excuse for them not to follow God. Is that right? No. We have a high expectations to live by, folks. We have a God that loves us, but we also have an obligation to the people out in this world to show them who God really is. And in this, go back to Daniel, in this we see that through that Daniel purposed in his heart, and Daniel says, he asked, prove thy servants, I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And in verse 17, as for these children, God gave them knowledge and skills and learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions. Because of Daniel purposing in his heart, God gave him a gift. And in this gift, God is going to use that gift to glorify him. Our gifts that God gives us is for his glorification. And we need to use those gifts and how God gave them to us. We look here in verse 17 in chapter 2. that Daniel went to the house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. See, all these four of these men had desires of the mercies of God. God gave knowledge and understanding and wisdom to envision that they stood in the king's presence in all matters, looking to God's people and not the world's point. Just think, if the world would look to Christians more often. We're going to see that God used Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king made the statue and commanded everyone that they have to worship the statue. Chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Says, therefore, at all times when the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, the harp, the sackbut, solitary, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped Nebuchadnezzar. Wherefore, languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the king was told by a certain Jew that these men did not worship to serve thy God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So says this is not easy, but yet it is true. The king asked them, he says, okay, I built this statue and you did not worship it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was like, understanding of what the king's the repercussions of that is you go into the burning the furnace of fire. They understood that. It wasn't going to be an easy decision for them to do this. It wasn't something that they really wanted to do, but they understood that God is their only God, that we shall bow down to only one God, that we cannot serve other gods. They understood that, and they had purposed it in their hearts that they were going to do that. They didn't fall into the snares and the temptations of the world. And lastly, in this event, the king's word was changed by three men's purposed heart because they purposed God, used them, and changed the king's mind. You see, when the king put them into the furnace of the fire, there was four people. Well, the king was astonished because he was like, hey, there was only three that I put in there. And they said that it looks like the Son of God. And so after they pulled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out, and the king is, what does he do? Verse 25, he says, he answered and says, lo, I see four men walking into the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and had delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. You see, one event several events that happen can change a man's mind, can change a man's or woman's or child's direction. Because these folks, these four people, did not fall, and they purposed in their heart that they were going to do what God wanted them to do. They were not going to worship any other gods. They were not going to fall into to the snares of the devil and become like the world. That we're not going to be transformed into the world's ways of, or views. We're going to be transformed into what God wants us to be transformed into. These four men changed the king's word. And he says that, therefore I decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dung, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You see, if we purpose in our hearts, folks, that we are going to serve God and we are going to do what God wants us to do, and I have 4 points that I want to bring ourselves to look at. Is our relationship, number one, is with Jesus Christ. Our first thing we have to have is our relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13, I believe, is the most important piece in our life, is that we know that we have eternal life. Is that we know that we have eternal life. That doesn't matter what we do in our life, doesn't matter how we live in our life, not saying that it gives us any the cloak of righteousness to do these things. Don't use our liberty as a cloak of righteousness. That's not what I'm saying. But God understands that we fail. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, folks, we are sinners. That's the bottom line. We are sinners. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We understand that. And God understands that. That's why he sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins. It wasn't a backup plan, folks, for him to come to this earth and die for our sins. He knew from the beginning that we were going to do that. It's not a backup plan that Christ came and died on the cross, folks. It was his plan from the beginning. Folks, he knew our hearts, that we were not, Adam and Eve were going to partake of the fruit. Jesus Christ knows that we are sinners. He understands that. He knows that we will fall into sin. But we have to have confidence that he can forgive us. And by his word, we have that confidence. When you look at 1 John chapter 5, and it says here that these things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. It's his word that we have his confidence in, that we know that whatever we do in our life, that however far back that we fall from sin or from God, no matter how far back we go into our life and how many times that we have made a mockery of Jesus Christ, he will still forgive you. Doesn't matter what we've done. We're people. We are people that have
an old nature. Old things have passed away and new things will come. But that body is still there. The flesh is still there, folks. We are not always going to be able to withstand those fiery darts of the devil. But we have to have confidence that we are forgiven when we do come back. Just as the prodigal son did. When he came back to his father opened him up with open arms and said, I love you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how your life was lived. I don't care about anything. All I care is that you're right here, right now with me. And that's a picture of how our Heavenly Father is with us. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It matters what you're doing right now and how you're living your life right now. Forget the past. Forget the future. Live right now. For we know not what brings tomorrow, the Bible says. The next thing is we have a relationship with our wife, purposed in our hearts, that we're going to have a relationship with our wife, submitting yourselves in the fear of God. What does that mean, submitting yourselves in the fear of God? By using His knowledge. See, Proverbs says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. You're not afraid of God. You're afraid of what our life will be without God. When my kids and my wife says, you know, just wait till your dad gets home, they're afraid because they know what's going to happen. They understand that there's going to be a punishment coming. People are, you know, snapping my fingers when I'm in church. When they hear that, they understand who that is. And I'm not saying that, you know, we need to make our kids fear us, but they understand that there's consequences for what happens in your life. It brings them to our attention. It shows them that, hey, knock it off. Submitting yourselves to in the fear of the Lord. And we need to submit ourselves one to another. Not only that does my wife need to submit herself to me, but I need to submit myself to her in knowing that I need to take care of her, that I need to love her, that I need to show that love to her, that I need to show that love to her in front of my kids. Do I always do that? Am I always doing those things? No. My kids will tell you the same thing. I don't always do those things, but they know that I love my wife. They have that comfort. They understand that my wife is the most important thing to me in the world. They understand those things. It's not a submission that of what, you know, and sometimes we jokingly do those things at the house, you know, or woman, you know. But that's not what they understand that I'm joking about that. But when my wife and I, we submit our lives to each other in the fear of the Lord and knowing that the only reason why our marriage is the way it is today, after this week, it'll be 20 years that we've been married, 21 years together. But it was only because of what God has done in our life. It's only because of me coming to church every week that these doors open and hearing the Word of God time and time again that you've got to submit yourself to your wife. You've got to love your wife. You've got to love your children. You've got to do this. You've got to do that all the time. Every week that I come to church, you know, God has given me a message to put me into my place, whether I liked it or not. But it gave me that ability to respond to what the Word of God has said and to show my children the man that they're supposed to be in their future. And my kids, they know that I've told them that I'm not perfect. I'm not the one who's always doing the right thing. But they know that I love the Lord. They know that I follow God. And they see that in our life. And they see that in this church. They see it in the other lives of these members in this church, married women and men that are living their life for the Lord. And it's that visual sight that see God working in marriages today. They've seen marriages that have fallen apart too. They've seen marriages that have continued on. But when they see those marriages that have fallen apart, they've seen it because those people have fallen away from the Lord. Not that they're bad people. That's the fear that I have, folks. Is I don't want to fall away from the Lord and become to where I'm getting away from God, and then my marriage is in jeopardy. I don't want my kids to see that. I don't want them to be a part of that. I want them to see that when people purpose in their hearts that they're going to serve the Lord and do the right thing and live their life for the Lord God all their life, you're not always going to make the right decisions. You're not always going to do the right thing. But you're going to fess up to what you did. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Make it a practice to go to your children and say, I'm sorry. Make it a practice to go to your kid and to say, you know what? I was wrong when I said that. Don't be prideful on what you say. Well, I meant what I said, and I'll say it again. Why? Why are you going to do that to them? Why are you going to show that being stubborn and not going to the Lord Jesus Christ is not being manly? Because that's not true. When you show that you can confess yourself to the Lord and show that you were wrong, that shows that you're humble. You've humbled yourself. That's what we need to do. Humble ourselves. In our church, purpose in our heart in our church, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 18:19-20 says that and Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whosoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Folks, we have a responsibility, and we need a purpose in our hearts that we're going to continue to build this church. Don't let it fall to the wayside, folks. This is a good church. It's got a good core. It's got good people. We need to hold up to the values that when this church was started in 1974. A man came to this into Helena, Montana, and started a church, and he started this church on the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and we need to continue that. Teaching them to observe all things. And what are all those things? Yeah, we need to teach them about the doctrine, but we also need to teach them about the life and how we're supposed to live it. Folks, I hear so many times at work where Christians are this, Christians are that, Christians are this, and you know what? The only thing I can say is you're right. You're right. But that's not who God is. That's not who all Christians are. And to try to get them to understand that because of how many times people have called them this or called them that, and maybe they were right. Maybe they were right on what they said, but it's how you say it, folks. It's how you present what is put in front of you. You've got to present this in a way of love, folks, because if you don't, it's like a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. It means nothing. You can say whatever you want. You can be truthful as all you can right here and preach this word of God, and you can say all the right things, but it means nothing if you don't say it with love. If you don't say this word of God with love and understanding that these are people without God, without Christ in their life, that they don't have the same values as you, you've got to know and understand that. You cannot hold them to the same expectations as you. They're not you. They're not me. I don't know how many times I have been in fault, and God, I'm sorry for this. Because I looked at other people differently. And I'm going to be held accountable for those things. But God got a hold of me, and I've used that so many times, and the woman at the well is my favorite example. Because if that's what Jesus does, if that's how Jesus views people, that's how we need to view people. The last thing is our kids. Raising our kids in the admonition of the Lord. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Teaching our kids that, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Excuse me. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Folks, we need to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord and raise them into understanding that there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of different beliefs and views and philosophies and theologians out there that believe stuff that are so whacked out. And I've seen so many times, myself included, going into a place where you get sucked into a spirit that is not the right spirit, where a spirit of judgmental, where you feel that you're being compromising the word of God if you associate with those people. When you go out into this world, folks, you've got to have an understanding of who you are in Christ. And that was my first point, is you've got to have confidence in Jesus Christ, that there is a God, and He is able to keep your salvation, that He is able to keep you from sin. He is able to keep you from the snares of the devil. And you've got to have that down, folks. You've got to know and believe in your heart that there's nothing out there that is going to get you and sway you from the life that you live. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're almost finished. Ephesians chapter 6. Says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. And thy father, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You see, a lot of, righteous people
You know, they read the first part. They read this part. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor you thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and mayest live long on earth. Read that part, but don't read the other part. You see, there's always something that we miss. You know, we want to see the good parts. Honor your father. You better do the right thing if you're with your mom and dad. But the main thing is why most children turn out the way they do. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What do you mean by provoking your children to wrath? Well, this is my thought on this here. When you don't live your life right, and your children watch you and how you treat your wife, and how you treat people in your church, and how you treat people at work, and how you treat others around you, that's who they're going to follow. You're the father. You're the mom. And how you live your life, why would they want to live their life for Christ when you're not doing it themselves? Now, a lot of kids do. They end up going, and amen, that happens. But let me tell you, folks, it's not about raising your children and making them obey your parents. And you have to do the whole thing, folks. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't let them see that your life and how it is a total opposite of what the Bible says. Let your life be that example. Let your life dictate what their direction is. In a moment here, we're going to have an invitation. If purposed hearts, if we are purposed in our hearts to do these things that I have pointed out to you, we can change the people around us that come into our paths. But folks, if we're not living the life that Christ wants us to live, how are we supposed to change? Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego purposed in their hearts that they were going to do the right thing, that they were going to live their life right. They were going to follow God. They purposed in their hearts, and what happened? The king changed his mind. The king changed his word. The king made a decree. It went from one to the other. And it's all because of these four men. You see, this is what this really, I want you guys to understand it. All we got to do, folks, is live our lives for Him and understanding that He is the reason why we serve a mighty God. What's your?
Page 17.
Page 17 in your hymnals. Go ahead and stand. Heart. Purpose your hearts today to follow Him.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Ryan, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?